It's hard to read the news these days without asking yourself, how did we get here? Fiasco is a history podcast from the co-creators of Slow Burn. In our first season, Bush v. Gore, we examine an unmistakable turning point in American politics, the 2000 election, which resulted in a high-stakes stalemate, ended with one of the most controversial rulings in Supreme Court history. So if you're trying to make sense of the present moment, check out Fiasco, Bush v. Gore. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday. We're going to get into all kinds of stuff this hour about Joe Biden, his friends, the people who surround him. We're going to talk about what happened in the Capitol yesterday with that vandalism, some great news about local cops and the FBI. But first, I want to answer this question the lady asked. She said, is Trump the disruptor we've all been waiting for? I talk about the system, how evil it is, and I talk a lot about how there will be system disruptors who rise. But that I want to focus on right now. Disruptors who rise. You know, the system is very powerful. It has a way of destroying people legally. Shoot. Violently, corrupt, evil systems, they react violently when they're threatened. Now, when it comes to Trump, is he the one we've been waiting for? There is no one we've been waiting for. What Trump really represents, he represents the first of them. The first of them. And he deserves a lot of credit for that, I should say. But I'm going to say something and you're going to find it offensive. Just allow me to clarify. But remember, don't email me if you're offensive because I don't give a, or if you're offended because I don't give a crap. The first system disruptor, the first one who rises up to challenge any corrupt system in any country at any point in history, he is always the dumbest and weakest of any of them. It's not because he's dumb or weak personally. It's not because Trump is dumb or Trump is weak. The first system disruptor who rises up to take on any kind of an evil system, he's the one who doesn't really, generally, he doesn't fully understand even what he's dealing with. He doesn't get how evil it is. He doesn't get how powerful it is. And as because of that, he will make these gigantic mistakes that put himself in danger and really ruin his ability to challenge and seriously disrupt the system. For instance, Trump's first term. A lot of you Trump fans and Trump haters will email about his personnel choices and how terrible they were. And he picked Christopher Wray and he enabled Fauci. And he. So why is all that? Is it because Trump is some dirty secret commie who wanted all these commies there? No. By his own admission, he had no idea what he was doing. And he had no idea what he was walking into. And so in Trump's world, the business world, you just go grab another business guy. That's why Rex Tillerson. Remember the first Secretary of State was Rex freaking Tillerson? And we all freaked out and said, what? Who? This is moronic. What? Why? Why? Trump didn't know any better. And he walked into this horrible buzzsaw and he got eaten alive by the swamp. He surrounded himself with backbiting snakes and losers and idiots. And his first 4 years got completely torpedoed. Is it because he's stupid or weak? No, it's because he's the first. He's the first. There will be many, many, many more who come after Trump. And they will be. They always are. It seems to always work out this way. They will be smarter and meaner as we go. He was the first one. The first one deserves mountains of credit for being the first one, standing up, talking about trade in different ways, illegal immigration in different ways, wars, foreign wars in different ways. He deserves a lot of credit for that. But he is, if we're going to look at this like the life of a human being, he's the baby who's learning to crawl. The next one will walk. The next one will run. The next one who comes after him, and I don't know who that is. I really can't see the future. I don't know who that is. The one who comes after them, and there will be another one because the system is going to still be evil and horrible 4 years from now. The next one who comes after him will be smarter and meaner than Trump is. And the one who comes after that guy, whoever that is, will be smarter and meaner than that guy was. And that, and see that, though, that in and of itself can end disastrously. And that's something you and I are going to have to be really vigilant about as we figure out who we want. And this is what I mean. Smarter, we all love. Meaner, look, we love the idea of that. We love the concept of that, right? I'm all down for being mean to communists. What do you do when that system disruptor, two or three disruptors from now, what do you do when he really does throw a journalist out of a helicopter? You see, this can get quickly to a place where it gets a little too mean, and by then, it gets out of our hands. You know, we talk about Pinochet all the time. Pinochet and how Pinochet rose up in Chile. Shut up, Chris. He rose up in Chile and he fought against Salvador Allende, the communist who took over, who was destroying Chile. And from a 30,000 foot view, we love that story. And from a 30,000 foot view, it is a good story. Communists were destroying Chile. Pinochet rises up, puts a stop to it, ushers in years and years and years of prosperity for Chile. Very similar to what Franco did after the Spanish Civil War, defeated the communists, years and years of prosperity. The people got to live wonderful lives. We love that part of it. We love the 30,000 foot view part of it. But on the ground, look, they took a communist singer and they dragged him in a back room. And they broke all the bones in his hands and then made him play guitar before they shot him in the head. Now, I don't want to live in a country where that kind of thing takes place, do you? But as the system destroys the system disruptors, the people will themselves demand someone smarter and meaner so the next one doesn't get destroyed the way the last one did. It's almost inevitable. They raise one up. The people raise one up. He gets eaten alive. Fine, we'll pick a bigger, meaner one. We raise him up. He gets eaten alive. Fine, we'll pick a bigger, meaning one than him. And soon you get the big, meanie McMean face who really is breaking people's hands and chucking people into the ocean. That's how these things work out. One of the reasons I have implored, begged, pick your word. One of the reasons I have begged people to dig in politically now, become an activist now, local politics, school boards, preserve your state. One of the reasons I want people getting more involved now is if we don't figure out how to solve this problem politically now, then this problem gets solved with violence later. And that's the last thing I want. Don't ever be one of these people who thinks you want a civil war or political violence. Go read up what those things are like. Whether you're on the winning side or losing side, they are beyond horrific. And I actually do see those days coming. One day, not tomorrow. It won't be after this election. I see those days coming for the United States of America if the American people do not engage, become activists, and run the communists out of their positions of power in this country, then those days of violence will get here eventually. They will. Trump isn't the one, he's a one. The first one. There will be others that come after. And we need to try to avoid as best we can the idea that there is a one coming to save us, that the idea that there is a man coming to save us. You know, I'll get these half tongue-in-cheek emails of people telling me they want me to take over as dictator, which is the only position I said in the government that I'll accept. I'll take a temporary dictatorship for a 5-year period and I'll get things cleaned up. I'm going to need a 500-man personal protection detail, a men of my choosing. I'll get things cleaned up the way I need it, and then I'll ride off into the sunset. And people will email in and say, Jesse, that's great. Jesse, I love it. Jesse, sign me up. You really don't want that. Believe me, you don't. What we need is we need to begin fortifying our homes, our neighborhoods, our communities, our towns, our counties, our states. We need to begin fortifying these things first. And from there, if we stay active in politics, from there, hopefully, we can expand that control beyond our individual borders. But we do have some rocky times ahead. And because I don't want those times to be violent times, I don't want to live in that country. I don't want you to live in that country. We need to get involved politically now so there is no need for any involvement violently later on. All right? All right. Now I have to tell you this story about the cops and the FBI. It's going to sound bad, but it's not. It's actually really, really great and necessary. And in fact, it's going to tie back to what I was just talking about before I tell you this. Let me tell you about Chad Mode. You ever heard of Chad Mode? Only Chalk would name their pre-workout Chad Mode. Of course, it's such a meathead thing to do. But it really is. The stuff is awesome. This pre-workout, people take it before they work out, give yourself a little energy boost. This pre-workout thing. Look, it's fine, except almost all the pre-workout out there has so much filth in it. It's so bad for you. One of the reasons I love Chalk is I know whatever I'm getting there is the highest quality and it's natural stuff. So it's not going to wreck my body. That's why I take a male vitality stack before a workout. I'm pouring a scoop of Chad Mode in a ball of water. Whatever you're looking for improvement on, natural herbal supplements from Chalk will help you. Go get a subscription to save money and go improve your life. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Chuck.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stalky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday with me, crappy voice Jesse. And remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Before we get back to the Ask Dr. Jesse questions, there's a story today in the New York Post, courtesy of Miranda Devine, that is wonderful. It's going to sound terrible, but it's wonderful. The headline is this: local cops refusing to share info with the FBI as the agency suffers a crisis of confidence with DEI hires, damning whistleblower report reveals. You can go read the article yourself. I'm not going to read the whole thing for you. It's a fascinating little read. But just know that this is a very, very, very good thing. Look, ideally, you'd have an FBI that's credible. But you don't have one of those. You have an evil secret police agency. The Cheka is what I affectionately call them, the Cheka. Now, that's bad. But what's good is there are so many local law enforcement bodies across the country that can and will stand up to them instead of working with them once they see how evil this organization is. When the FBI does things like, I don't know, murder a fat old man in Utah because he put up some spicy Joe Biden posts, when the FBI murders people like that, they always do so with the assistance of local law enforcement, local police departments, local sheriff's departments. They partner up with the FBI and go murder the enemies of the regime once murdered. But that cooperation stopping, that is a very, very good thing, because you need a sheriff who will stand with you against them instead of with them against you. That's how it must be in a country once you have an evil secret state police agency as we do. So it may sound bad, but it's a really, really, really good thing that local jurisdictions are saying enough is enough. They're not going to be complicit in this whole thing. And we still don't have the body camera footage from that shooting in Utah. Isn't that interesting? A fat old man puts up some really stupid things on social media about Joe Biden. Fat old man needs a cane to walk around. He's a caretaker to his blind son. And the FBI finds a way to gun him down right as Joe Biden's coming to town, and to this day refuses to release the body cam footage of it. Boy, that must have been a real good shoot, right? I'm sure that's why they have all those videotapes hidden right next to the Epstein files the FBI has. You do know that story, don't you? Did you know that story? You know, let me tell you a little story real quick. Jeffrey Epstein, billionaire, pedophile, rapist. He did this with the world's elite, the Bill Clintons, you know, Bill Gates' wife divorced him because of his association with Epstein. You know, people like that. Did you know Jeffrey Epstein had a huge mansion in New York? Did you know that the FBI raided that mansion? Did you know that when the FBI raided the mansion, they found a secret safe? This is all public information. I'm not making this up. You can go look it up. Just people have forgotten. They found this secret safe, and the secret safe was full of pictures and video, all on CD-ROM. Sorry, kids. That's how you kept information back in the day. Computer discs, okay? Computer discs. The FBI found all this. The special agent in charge of the FBI told the FBI they couldn't take these things. That wasn't part of their search warrant. We certainly can't take all the video and pictures we found. The FBI leaves it behind. Jeffrey Epstein's lawyers show up at the house, remove everything. By the time the FBI shows back up, all that videotape, all those pictures, gone. What do you think happened? You know exactly what happened. The FBI covered for this person. Because they're all on the same daggone team. Remember that. Jesse, they have an old saying that you are judged by the company you keep. I think Trump is extremely rich with friendships that he has cultivated his whole life. Do you see any of Joe Biden's friends? Anyone from the Senate? He didn't even have a real friendship with Obama. Did he ever have the neighbors over for barbecue? Nope, just wealthy donors that host the grifters, his siblings and family. It's actually a very good point. And I'll tell you something else that's a very good point. And it actually struck me at the convention when I saw Trump. Did you see Trump's granddaughter? She spoke at the convention. Trump's granddaughter got up, spoke at the convention. It was really sweet. She's like 17 years old. And she was talking about how she golfs with him and they talk on the phone. And she was just, it was a really, really sweet moment. And then you saw Trump's other grandkids. They're sitting on his lap. He's kissing on them and stuff like that. I will tell you, it is a credit to the man how wonderful his family is and how much they appear to adore him. His children, many of whom have different, you know, moms, because Trump's been married 1,000 times, they all get along. They all adore him. His grandchildren, they all adore him. He very clearly adores them. Contrast that with somebody like Dome. Contrast that with somebody like Joe Biden, whose entire family is a disaster. Drugs, strippers, crimes, you know it. It really is pretty revealing about the men, isn't it? I mean, look, that's part of your legacy as a man. When you're older, you're looking back on your life. That's part of your legacy. Quite a different legacy those two men have, isn't it? All right, let's do some more Ask Dr. Jesse questions. First, there's a great little media montage I'm going to play for you about, remember those talking points we were talking about from the system? There's a great one on that. Before we do that, I want to talk to you about the daily pain you live with that you don't have to live with. What if that pain in your knee, what if I could turn it down? That pain in your back, what if I could turn it down? Eliminate it. You know, Relief Factor is drug-free. It's developed by doctors, but it's drug-free. It's all natural. It doesn't mask that pain you're in, muscle pain, joint pain. It reduces it or even eliminates it in its entirety. And you don't have to take my word for it. In fact, I don't want you to. Take Relief Factor for 3 weeks. 3 weeks. Let it build up in your system and tell me how that pain is. Tell me how that pain is after 3 weeks of giving your body the support it needs. Call. Order your 3 weeks worth. 1-800-4-RELIEF, or go to relieffactor.com. You don't have to live with that pain, all right? All right. Let's talk about those animals yesterday burning American flags at the Capitol. Hang on.
Feeling a little stalky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
In the aftermath of a transformative election like the one we just had, it's hard to read the news without asking yourself every 5 seconds, how did we get here? That's exactly what we're always trying to figure out on Fiasco, a history podcast from the co-creators of Slow Burn. In our first season, Bush v. Gore, we examine an unmistakable turning point in American politics, the 2000 election, which came down to a recount in Florida and ended with one of the most controversial rulings in Supreme Court history. In many ways, it's the beginning of the story we're living through right now. So if you're trying to make sense of the present moment, check out Fiasco, Bush v. Gore, and find out how a statistical tie in the Florida vote count put the nation into an unprecedented holding pattern, during which American voters waited with bated breath to find out whether Al Gore or George W. Bush would be the next president of the United States. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday. I forgot to answer Jewish producer Chris earlier when I was explaining what I'm doing for the Marine Corps reunion weekend. It's my mortar section. I was in a mortar section. We're all meeting up. It's not at a bar, Chris. I was about to say 13. I guess I didn't really go to bars when I was 13. I'm not 23 anymore. I'm 43. We're not going to a freaking bar. Like children, we rented a house. It's nothing fancy, just a house that's close to the lake. The ones on the lake are a lot more expensive. You'd be shocked at what they're charging for these things. So we found one that's close to the lake, and we're going to go to the grocery store like old friggin' men, and we're going to get meats to grill, and I'm sure we'll grab a couple beers or something like that. We do have a boat we're going to rent. I am a little hesitant to rent a boat. Because the last time I rented a boat, you remember I almost killed people and died myself. You remember that? You don't remember that story, Chris? Okay, so we were on Lake Travis. It's a lake out by Austin, Texas. And it was me, wife, kids, and then my buddy Luis, my Mexican buddy Luis and his wife and their two kids. So it was, you know, two families. And we decided we were going to rent a pontoon boat for the day. We just wanted to cruise around the lake. Park it wherever, drop anchor, let the kids swim, do some cliff jumping, you know, that kind of stuff, fun stuff, lake stuff. Only they only had one pontoon boat, and it was the oldest, most rundown thing you've ever seen in your life. It's not a big deal. I know my way around a boat. My old man's had me fishing enough most of my life. I'm certainly not a boat expert at all, but I know my way around a boat. I can handle one. I can handle a boat. No big deal. Okay, fine. Who can't handle a friggin' pontoon boat anyway? It's for kids. We get on the pontoon boat. We cruise. I hate that. I don't have a voice. It's just awful. We cruise up Lake Travis. We look for a little honey hole where the kids can go swimming. We see some little, you know, inlet, a little cove type area. It looks perfect for it. We pull into the cove, and I drop anchor. Turn the boat off, drop anchor. Kids jump in the water. A bunch of other boats are in this same cove. I need to stress this. We are surrounded by other people doing the exact same thing. It's all families, kids, rafts, fun. It's the lake. Everyone's gone to the lake before. My anchor is not catching. I'm just not getting it catching on the bottom. Okay, not a big deal, but my boat's drifting a little bit, and it's drifting kind of towards the shore. Well, I don't want to pay my security deposit or bang up their boat, so I just do what anyone would do. It's only me and Luis on the boat at this point in time. The families are in the water. I grab the anchor, pull the anchor up, turn on the boat, and then I just start easing the throttle forward just a little bit because I only want to putz a little bit back out into the cove, and I'm surrounded by people. You don't want to go fast anyway. Boats can be very dangerous, so I'm easing the throttle just a little bit, and then all of a sudden, whoong, the boat goes from easing the throttle to max speed, max RPM. Sounds like the engine's about to blow. I'll tell you what happened in a little bit, Chris. So I'm all of a sudden the boat is going full speed ahead. This is a pontoon boat in a cove where we're surrounded by not only boats, but there are people in the water. and the boat's heading right for another boat and about 10 people that are in the water. I'm yelling, and my buddy Luis is yelling, get out of the way, get out of the way. At the same time, the throttle, it doesn't matter. As you can tell, there was a mechanical problem that wasn't mine. It didn't matter what I did. I couldn't stop the boat from being at full power. So I have this full power boat. I'm having to try to drive through this cove and avoid people like I'm a skier doing slalom. And I do get around the people, but then I'm heading back out towards the main part of the lake. And it was a holiday weekend. I want to say it was Independence Day weekend, something like that. And there are boats flying up and down the lake. And I can't go putzing out there on my pontoon boat, which I can't control. Oh, and of course, the kill switch isn't working. You know, you're thinking, just pull the kill switch. I tried to pull the freaking kill switch. It's not killing anything. Now I'm in a pickle. I can't go into the cove. I can't go out into the lake. I try to turn it because I'm still just yanking on the throttle and we're heading right towards a cliff. I don't think, to clarify, I do not think at this speed that I would have died, but I'm unbuckled in this thing. I probably would have been broken for sure. The things would have got broken. I mean, I guess I could have died. I don't think I would have died, so I don't want to act like I was almost near death. Now, the people in the water were almost near death, but I managed to avoid them. And I swear it was from God. We're 10 feet from the shore, from running into the shore, heading right for it, and the boat just dies. It just friggin' dies right there. And we were moving so fast that we still drifted into it, but we were going so slow it wasn't any big deal. Luis was hanging off the side getting ready to jump. I was going to have to jump. We just had no choice. We call the boat place. These dudes come out, I kid you not, it's the most Texas thing you've ever heard in your life. They come out in their own pontoon boat. It's two dudes, as redneck as you can get, and they have a half-empty 24-pack of beer that they're tearing through on the way out. These are the people who work in the marina coming to fix and retrieve the boat. And they pull, and it's not like they're hiding it. It's sitting right there in the captain's chair. They're just hammering beers out there. And they pull up and offer us one. Hey, you need a beer? I'm like, no, I need a boat that won't murder everybody here on the lake. Could you please fix something? They dig into it. They said, man, this thing's toast. They had to tie us off and they had to tow us back. It turned out there was some screw. It was so old. There was some screw that had come loose that caused the engine to rev to max RPMs regardless of what you did on the throttle. Very, very lucky I didn't kill someone. And very lucky, honestly, we talked about it afterwards. Very lucky that that wasn't some drunk college kid or something who just trying to relocate the boat, or just someone who didn't know what they were doing, who didn't know that people could have died that day. Anyway, we're going to the lake. We're renting a little boat. We're going to go swimming, we're going to make some food, and we're just going to catch up on old times like the old fat Marines we are. That's all. We're just going to just a couple days at the lake catching up on old times. JK47, I'm sitting here watching the street animals' latest riot in our nation's capital, and they just took down the American flag off a big flagpole and replaced it with the Palestine flag. These people need to be stopped. I look forward to the day where it can be stopped. I need a beer. Thank you again for being our voice. Maybe fire up the soundboard and let one rip for America. Okay, I know I've gotten a bunch of these. I know you're mad about what happened in the Capitol. You had all these street communists run on the Capitol, tear down the flag, defacing the Liberty Bell, just doing street communist things. This is the relationship. This is the relationship that has been built for years between the street communists and the elite communists. And I actually had this thought last night because my blood was boiling. I would let myself get into this after the show. I try to set politics aside after the show, but I was watching these videos and I was watching these freaking savages burn American flags. And I was just getting myself really, really worked up. I was getting myself upset. Plus, I didn't have a voice. I was in a sour mood anyway. And I was letting myself get really, really mad about the whole thing. And you know what I came around on? I'll tell you something I came around on. You know how I've spoken out a lot, and I'll continue to do so against the renaming of anything. I don't care if it's after a Confederate, about the tearing down of American monuments and statues and symbols, because those are important parts of your history. You know, this is stuff that I've ranted on forever, that your history is part of what makes you who you are, and it's part of the reason they want to tear it down, because if they take that away, then they can rewrite who you are and rewrite your future. I believe I've had a slight change of heart when it comes to tearing down monuments and symbols. I will explain to you in just a moment what I mean by that. Before I explain to you, I want to explain to you that I, voice or no voice, I slept like a little bitty tiny baby last night. And you know the reason I slept like a baby is because it was probably 2 years ago, we realized our mattress is probably getting up there in age, probably time to replace it, but didn't want to go sink a grand, $2,000 into a new friggin' mattress. So we decided to get ourselves a MyPillow mattress topper. It's like getting a new mattress. It's the best way I can describe it. It's like you got a brand new mattress, only, look, right now, you can get them as low as $69.98 at MyPillow.com. How about a mattress where you just, you sink into it and it just holds you and you go to sleep like a baby and you don't wake up with your shoulder hurting and your back hurting? MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener special square. Use the promo code Jesse. Or you can call them 800-845-0544. I'll tell you my alternate plan for our monuments and statues next.
Feeling a little stalky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Of course, an Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday. All right, let's dig into this. You're mad about them tearing down the flags, defacing things yesterday in D.C. I'm mad about it, too. And you know how much I've ranted about our history and why monuments, statues, these things matter. They're important. Your history matters. It's important. Don't erase it. Don't ignore it. Even the parts of it you may not be thrilled about, it's part of what makes you you. It's part of your DNA as a human. And you know why communists destroy that history. The Soviets tore down the churches. So did the Spanish commies. Mao tore up the temples and the graves. Pol Pot declared year zero. If they eliminate your history, then you are a blank canvas. And they can make you into whatever they want. That's why communists hate history. Hate it. It's not something that they're kind of annoyed by. They try to destroy it everywhere they go. It's why they've torn down statue after statue. They renamed military base after military base. Of course, with Republicans like James Lankford grabbing his ankles for them every step of the way. But I have come around on something, just an idea. Probably not realistic, but just an idea. What about sanctuary states? Sanctuary states for American history. For instance, remember that Teddy Roosevelt statue they tore down in New York City? Teddy Roosevelt is New York City. He is New York. I mean, his whole history is there. It's amazing. He's one of America's lions. And they tore down the Teddy Roosevelt statue? I think red states should begin declaring themselves to be sanctuary states for our history. And I think they should actually begin taking these statues and monuments in for themselves and displaying them. It's time for sanctuary states for American history. I really genuinely believe this. It's a stupid idea I came up with. And the more I think about it, the more I love my stupid idea. Sanctuary states for the history of America. Because look, in the blue states, this stuff's going to keep happening. And especially the blue cities within the blue states, the stuff's going to happen because there's nothing to stop it. As I've tried to explain, that's why I tell you not to go protest in blue areas. There's no longer any level of government. Any level of government in these areas that's anything but hostile to you. The governments in these areas are openly hostile to you and your beliefs. And so, you know, it's time to not protest there. Because if you do, if you get handcuffs slapped on you, look at what they've done to the January 6th political prisoners. They'll destroy your life. The judges will shoot, the freaking cops will, the DA will, everybody, nobody there is going to come help you because you're in a communist island. You might as well consider places like Washington, D.C. to be North Korea. Conduct yourself in those places the way you would if you were visiting North Korea. Don't even spit on the freaking sidewalk. If you want to go to our nation's capital, go. Embrace the history, do the museums, go to the monuments, mind your P's and Q's, and then get your butt out the door because these dirty communists will wreck you. Anyway, I do think we should begin bringing that history in here. Speaking of history, Joe Biden didn't just get the whip to encourage him out the door of the White House. There were, of course, sugar cubes involved. I have no doubt promises were made, fundraising, things like a presidential library, maybe his kids' tax troubles going away. Who knows what promises they made? But one thing that's very, very, very obvious, publicly rehabbing his disastrous image was part of the deal.
Weeks, he's done an unnatural thing, very rare in the annals of history. He stepped away from power. And he did it in the interest of the country.
In spite of, as he said, personal ambition.
I think this will, history will look kindly on Joe Biden. And I think people will look differently on him tomorrow than they did a week ago. And they will maybe see his achievements and his commitment to this country more clearly.
Obviously, that's a lie. You're yelling at the radio, throwing things at the radio. He didn't bow out for the goodness of America. He was forced out of there by the dirty communists who previously called his friends. And now they're taking this line and they're going all in. This is part of the Joe Biden golden parachute severance package.
This moment puts him, you know, with a bunch of American greats, you know, the sort of George Washingtons of the world.
They said that with a straight face. Corinne Diversity Hire, of course, she's taken that
this
line.
This is a selfless act, something that very few politicians would ever do. President Biden will go down in history as one of the nation's greatest presidents.
Selfless act. You know what is a selfless act? Using your money to save someone's life. That's a selfless act. Did you know that? $28 is not nothing. And when I bring up giving $28 to preborn because they're going to use that $28 to buy an ultrasound for a woman who's about to abort her baby, when I bring that up, I don't want you to think I'm dismissive about the fact that $28 is for real anymore. Look, that's family pizza night. That's what it costs now. At least that. You're going to drop that kind of money on there. I know it matters. $28, though, it's life or death for that baby that isn't born yet. Because mom has already decided to kill it. She's out there looking for an abortion. And Lord willing, preborn finds her first and can give her that free ultrasound. Because when she hears that heartbeat, she's going to choose life. They do almost every single time. If we just get her the ultrasound. And the ultrasound costs $28. Go to preborn.com/Jesse and give what you can. It's all tax deductible. I don't care how much you give. It's awesome, though. preborn.com/Jesse. All right. Dr. Jesse, why didn't the cop who was boosted up on the roof and confronted the shooter and dropped back down immediately shoot off around to quickly alert those on stage? Do you think the shooter was groomed by someone he met at the local range? Rest the pipes. The subdued Jesse is kind of creepy, almost AI like. Chris, am I creepy? Is my voice creepy like this? I'm not. I don't sound like RFK. Oh, no. Do I sound like RFK? I do not, Michael. Shut up. No, I don't. You guys are stupid. Anyway, why didn't the cop shoot off around? Okay. First of all, you don't shoot off around to warn people. That's something that's done in the movies. What goes up must come down. Please, please. Do not shoot into the air, please. People have been killed, and people will be killed more in the future by people thinking it's the Old West and it's the movie Tombstone, and you can just aim your weapon in the air and shoot it without consequence. That bullet will be coming back down. It will have weight to it, and it will have speed to it, and it is more than enough to kill someone when it hits them. Okay, was the shooter Do I think the shooter was groomed by someone he met at the local rifle range? Okay, let's talk about that. So we're going to talk about that and media cover-ups and much more coming up in the final hour. Hang on.
It's hard to read the news these days without asking yourself, how did we get here? Fiasco is a history podcast from the co-creators of Slow Burn. In our first season, Bush v. Gore, we examine an unmistakable turning point in American politics, the 2000 election, which resulted in a high-stakes stalemate, ended with one of the most controversial rulings in Supreme Court history. So if you're trying to make sense of the present moment, check out Fiasco, Bush v. Gore. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.